At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
What are we? What are we? What are we?
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live, man, coming at you right now from the Low Budget Live Bar and Beach Resort. Check it out. Look at it. I thought we could all use a little sunshine. I thought we could all use a little change of scenery. And so for my entire life, for my entire almost now 30 plus years on this earth, 36, 37 years on this earth. I have been coming to Lower Alabama down here to the Gulf Coast, and this was my mom. This was Teresa. This was her favorite spot in the world right here. Right here. So we got word that they were opening the Gulf Coast back, and, you know, working from home, and I can do this from anywhere, and I can edit YouTube videos, and the kids are out of school now, and lots going on, so from home. So I said, hey, it's 6 hours. Let's pack it up and roll it south. And what I see down here is a lot of people having a good time but doing it carefully. I see a lot of people, you know, they're doing a heck of a job around the swimming pools at these places, making sure people stay apart. The state of Alabama has really got some good some good measures in place. And I know, man, people are worried about this, and maybe these states opening back up is the worst thing that could have ever happened. But what I see is I see joy on people's faces. I see people that have been cooped up, that have been locked up, locked down, you know, and I see them starting to get back out and enjoy themselves, man. And that's a big freaking deal, and we need it. So I want y'all to enjoy that too. I hope you can see it over my shoulder, the beautiful Gulf of Mexico, and heading back home in the morning. This is the podcast for May the 4th, 2020. But, yeah, we wanted to get down here and get some sunshine. And truly, I haven't fished. I've just been hanging. I've been thinking about my mom a lot. This is my first time coming down. My mom made several trips a year down here and my entire life. And she would sit right out there. And she would hunker down in a chair from daylight till freaking dark on that beach. And read her a book, and she was happy, man. And so it's been really cool being down here. But, you know, we're being safe. We've done the same thing here we would have at home, except we've tried to support the local economy down here in Orange Beach by, you know, going to restaurants, doing takeout. I haven't cooked a meal since I've been here. I've been cooking every meal, three meals a day pretty much for freaking 2 months now. And so decided, you know, these local businesses are struggling, man. And I know it's like that all over the country. But these tourist areas, which, you know, utilize and count on spring break and different things, they're really hurting. So it's been cool to get down here and, you know, in our little bit of little bit of cash that we're spending. Hopefully it helps, you know, keep somebody employed or something, you know, keeps these businesses going. It's crazy, but it's, you know, it's Sunday afternoon as I record this, and there's a lot of folks that have gone home. It's really busy yesterday, though. Saturday was busy. The public beaches are real busy here at the condo we're staying at. It's been pretty crowded. As I say that, I look down the beach, and there's a guy in a Tyrannosaurus Rex costume going down the beach. So you never know what you're going to get. I hope the audio's okay. I'm out here on the balcony, but I decided I could have recorded a podcast before I left home. We came down Thursday night. It's like, you know what? I want to do one down there. Do one for Mom. Do one for myself down there at on the old Gulf Coast. So I got salt water in my veins. I was fortunate to get to saltwater fish and to come to places like this. My mom, like I said, she loved it, so it's in my DNA. So thinking about Mom always, and I wanted to kick this one off that way. Hope y'all are doing well, low lifers. Hope y'all are staying safe, and hope you're starting to, you know, I see some of y'all I follow out there, and I'm reading the comments. Y'all are getting out there. Y'all are fishing. You're starting to go back out. I've seen some people post pictures of going out to eating restaurants again and stuff. And that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Take care of these folks. Take care of them. And listen, I don't want any comments this week about, oh, fishing, not COVID. I had more last week. You know, we got more important things to worry about it in life other than COVID right now. Guys, we do. Y'all are worried about me talking COVID, not fishing. What about these murder hornets? I'm looking at all you people that are worried about me talking about other things. If you ain't read about them murder hornets, you better stop the podcast, pause the YouTube video if you're watching it, and you better go Google murder hornets. You better Google them, and you better hope that 2020 ends pretty quick, because it's getting crazy. Now we got COVID and we got murder hornets, and y'all think being locked down is bad. You're gonna be glad we're locked down when the murder hornets get to flying around. So Google murder hornets. Get back to me. It's a big deal. They're scary. They're terrifying. And let me tell you something else you better hope. You better hope the fine folks at StarTron and StarBright come up with a murder hornet repellent. And if anybody can, it'll be them. Because they bring you Low Budget Live, I feel like they're invincible. They could do anything in the world, right? So fine folks at StarTron, StarBright Cleaning Solutions, bringing you Low Budget Live from Low Budget Live, not so live from the glorious beach. I hope y'all enjoy this looking over my shoulder. I hope the lighting's good. It's just low budget as always. Just me and my little camera, my little setup here. But it's it's such a beautiful day. The weather's been awesome. And proud to be doing this, and proud that StarTron brings y'all this experience week after week after week. And there's some negativity sometimes in the comments, but for the most part, y'all are all awesome. You come back week after week, and man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. But to the negative, I do want to say, and I feel like I've had to address this way too much lately, it's like, I'm not going to tolerate it, and I'm not going to, read just people bashing me about what I talk about or whatever. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen, or you can, you know, wait till somebody's on that's one of your favorite people. But, you know, also, you know, in an hour podcast, I like to ramble about my life, you know, and I'm always going to. So if you don't like that, I'm sorry too. But my microphone... and I'm going to talk about what I want. I'm really excited for today. I've got a guest coming on that I have had on many times, and I always enjoy it. And check the phone right now. Right now, check it just to see if he's text. But going to have a guy on that has had an interesting story the last few days. Told y'all about it a little bit last week. We're going to have John Cox on today, though. We're going to have John Cox on again. And John's life is wild. He is out there feeding Pop-Tarts and things to... that little girl just squealed like a... She must have seen this as Low Budget Live up here. She's having herself a time. I understand. No pictures. Thank y'all. Sorry, I'll get with y'all later. Golly, they're lining up down here on the boardwalk, y'all. Just to try to see what Low Budget Live is all about, you know, out here and almost in the public, really. I could count this like some tournament organizations count their numbers and say there's thousands out here waiting to see me. Anyways, back to John Cox. John Cox has been feeding bass Peeps and Pop-Tarts and dead birds and salami and ham and craziness in his backyard. He's fishing both the FLW Pro Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit and the Bassmaster Elite Series, which has only been one Bassmaster Elite Series. There's only been three, the FLW Pro Circuit, and he had this all worked out, and he was going to have to make these crazy life-altering decisions based on where he was in the points and because the schedules overlapped. Well, now that everything's been rescheduled, and we're fixing to get to that, at least tentatively have been rescheduled. I want to see kind of what he's thinking, because Bass is getting with folks. We're going to talk about MLFLW getting with people here in just a minute. So I want to get with John on that. But the latest thing, and I talked about it last week, that was very cool, was John tried to save a 10-pound bass, and he put it in his freaking bathtub. Like, there's not many things that would make you more gangster in life in the fishing community than trying to save a bass. And he thinks it got attacked by a gator. It was nasty, dude. Big gash on its side. We'll talk about all this. But he put it in his bathtub, Walter, and it became this hashtag Save Walter. And I hope y'all all went and followed. It was funny, but it was also very endearing. And then Walter passed away. We lost Walter this week, but we're going to let John tell that story because I just think it's awesome. And I like picking John's brain about things. And we're going to get with John about all this craziness going on with MLFLW. So I told y'all, maybe it was episode before last, that the brass at MLF wanted, and they reached out to the FLW Angler panel, and they wanted to mix the BPT with the FLW Pro Circuit. They wanted the Pro Circuit guys to pay entry fees, and they were going to make a bigger, you know, deeper payout, but they wanted the BPT guys, who are no entry fee guys, to pay into FLW to have four more FLW super FLWs, even though the season's already started. But with all this craziness, you know, they took a break. So they've had three with only the FLW Pro Circuit anglers. Then, but they proposed they wanted four more, the remaining four, to include BPT anglers. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that definitely tells me. There's a lot of different, in my opinion, there's a lot of things that says, but you know, they couldn't have bought FLW at a worse time, honestly. And they are leaning on that COVID thing a little bit, but here's the thing. They pitched this to BPT guys, and they were only gonna have a couple more tournaments, right? Well, they voted it down, the way I understand it. They voted it down just a couple weeks ago. Some anglers in BPT wanted to fish FLW, some didn't. To me personally, my stance was I wouldn't want them suckers thinking that it was okay for me to pay an entry fee again, because all they've done has been like, oh, we don't pay entry fees. And they're going right back to it, right? Because FLW's obviously, they haven't had any BFLs. They haven't had any, you know, very few. They haven't had any Toyota Costa Everstarts. Haven't had any of that stuff. So one would think that after borrowing money or getting money from whoever to buy FLW, their own money, whatever, that investing in that to save the business, which was how they pitched it, that it's just not going so great right now, I would think. So now they're using this to invest back, you know, get some entry fee, get some money, and you know, to create a stir. And it will. From a fisher and fan standpoint, it'll be really cool to see some of these guys compete. So saying all that, they voted it down. BPT guys did. Well, whatever has happened, and I'm not privy to all the information, I just get most of it. Friday night, there was a call between MLF anglers, and there was a call between MLFLW, the brass, with the FLW crew. And they presented their plan, and that plan, and it's going through. So what we're going to see now, there's only going to be two more BPT events for the rest of the year, and then they're going to have their cups, which were like the old Major League Fishing TV shows. They're going to have a few of those, or however many of them they got scheduled. They're going to do those because they're TV shows, they're not tournaments. So they're going to do those. And they're going to do their heavy hitters thing in June. But only two more entry fee free BPTs, and or technically only one, because you have to qualify for heavy hitters. So one more opportunity for those guys as far as that goes. Not sure how this vote went. Not sure how it changed. I know it did get voted down. Now it is definitely happening. They're not being forced to do it. It is an option. But I'm being told that all of the MLF brass, the owners, will fish FLW. So it's very, I don't know. For me, if I'm a BPT guy and I've been sold this no entry fee thing, the only way that is sustainable is with sponsors. I think that strong arming and some of the tactics that have been put in place by these guys, people don't look favorably upon you when times get tough. And times are tough for a lot of people right now, or people are using this as an excuse just like MLF is. So I don't think they're doing well. I just don't. I don't think they're doing well. That being said, I'm sure Bass is losing some things right now, too, just because they're not operational. It is a tough time. Marketing budgets get cut first before freaking anything does in life, no matter the industry, whether it's hunting, fishing, NASCAR, whatever. Marketing budgets get cut first. It's very hard making a living off marketing budgets. It is. But that being said, something just doesn't, for me, if I'm one of these guys and I've left what I've known and I've gone to this and I fought for it and I get on the internet comments and I fight, and I try to convince all my buddies that this is the way to go, and then they're like, hey, hear us out on this. We want you guys to pay entry fees to help us with the FLW Pro Circuit that we just bought, that we thought we needed, that we had to have so we could try to finish putting the nail we think we're driving into Bass's coffin in, but it's not going good, and now we're not going to be able to finish the year with no with entry fee free events. I don't know how I would take that. I just don't. That's not something that I would want to do. And then on the flip side, you know, I've talked to some FLW buddies. I've talked to some MLF buddies that like it. I've talked to some MLF buddies that don't like it. My FLW buddies are kind of split, too. I don't know how I would feel. I said that last time. I don't know how I would feel if I had paid entry fees to be, you know, in their feeder circuit, and then all of a sudden those guys are in it. It's very confusing, and it's a mixed signal thing, you know. These guys are sharp businessmen. I will give them that. And I think this will generate some attention for sure. I think that people will be watching. I mean, I know I will. I mean, I want to see the real Jason Christie versus the one with the Y, with the hard Y. I want to see that. I mean, that's the face off everybody wants to see. You know, everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see Kevin Van Dam, you know, compete against Jason Christie with a Y. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody. I mean, I think if you go through any forum, that's pretty much people are like, you know, people have always wanted like a Bass versus FLW thing or a Super Bowl of bass fishing other than the classic. But I mean, I think this is going to be it, guys. I think this is going to be it. I mean, it's, you know, and the funny thing for me is I think some of these guys are going to get embarrassed when they go fish these pro circuit tournaments and some of these boys mop the floor with them. That they, you know, that if they were all standing at a convention, you know, say they're at ICAST, and if we were having that this year, and they're all standing around, you know, some of these guys from MLF would look at some of these pro circuit guys like, oh, excuse me, are you talking to me? But you'll be like, oh, who is that guy that just beat me again? But then you're going to have guys, you know, Jacob Wheeler's going to fish these and do well. Obviously, Thrift, you know, if he gets in them, is going to excel. A lot of these guys obviously really, really, really catch a lot of bass, but there are going to be some of them that get a little wake-up call, I'm afraid, too, if they decide to go do it. So I don't know. I don't know if you are an FLW guy where you should stand on that. You know, it's just a very weird year all the way around. It was weird last year. And the root of it for me, though, is that had MLF just decided to just keep being a TV show. I think everything's, I'm not blaming them for COVID, but I just think that all this turmoil and all this back and forth and all this stuff just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Would FLW be hurting right now because of sponsors and things? Yeah. Would Bass be hurting? Yeah. But, you know, with everything going on in the economy, but you just wouldn't have this extra layer to the onion that you have right now. And we certainly do have an extra layer, and it's created turmoil within the industry. You got companies like a Pradco. Word is right now that they have let go almost every one of their MLF BPT pro staff guys. They kept all their elite guys. I mean, these kind of lines in the sand that are being drawn that a lot of fans don't see or know about until after the fact. I mean, people are definitely picking sides. It became very political, and they're picking sides. And it's too bad. It's too bad that it's that way. You know, it's unfortunate that everybody can't play nice at least and try to do what's right and what's best for the fans. But, I mean, even this week, Boyd was on BTL Bass Talk Live with Mark Jeffries and on Matty Matt. And, dude, just the things he's saying, you know, about the Red Crest and, well, the industry wants an event to kick off the season. Well, yeah, the Classic. That's why the Classic moved to the spring. That was the exact speech they gave when they moved it. Like, just stop trying to act like you're the only game in town and that nothing else in this world ever existed before you. It's just this pompous. Absolutely pompous, but not surprising at all, but very pompous. And it just gets old. The whole routine gets old for me. But like I said, there are definitely sponsor changes coming as well and are taking place right now. And I'm telling you right now, you heard it here first. I hope you heard it here first, that there will be significant changes for 2021 as far as a lot of angler sponsor portfolio, whether you fish bass, FLW, MLF, BPT, whatever, there will be guys running boats you've never seen them run before that have been with companies for a very long time. There will be guys with different lure companies that they've never been with, rod companies. There are so many shakeups going on right now. I hear about them every day. It depends on how this economy, if we can get it back going and get everybody back to work and get everybody safe and get this thing kicked in the butt. It is all very dependent on that. But there are going to be a lot of changes next year. There were a lot of changes this year, but there are going to be more next year. There's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more, and there's a lot going on right now behind the scenes that people aren't seeing. Cuts being made to guys losing parts of their livelihood, and some are affected way, way, way more than others. And it's a scary time, man. It's a scary time for me. It's a scary time for anybody. I mean, I make my living in this industry between doing what I do promotionally and fishing and YouTube, and then, of course, my full-time day job at TH Marine selling boat parts. I mean, it's a scary freaking time to be involved in the recreational fishing market. And that's our choice. You know, that's our choice. It's the same as a guy that's lost his job doing whatever right now. It's scary for all of us right now, but you're going to see the landscape of fishing. Hang on, here comes Bobby. As Fat Cat would say, surf style. Stay safe and stay healthy, folks. Not bringing you Low Budget Live. He's coming by in his airplane. I always think that'd be a cool gig. Just fly down the beach, pulling your sign. I don't know how they land with those big signs. Drop a comment below if you're watching on YouTube if you know how they land with these signs. I'm going to have to YouTube that. Have to Google that up. But got sidetracked by an airplane. Y'all are not surprised. Y'all are not surprised. But I think that it's a the when we come out of this, whenever that is, and things start to take shape for next year, it's going to be wild, man. Some of the stuff I'm hearing that I'm not really inclined to talk about, you know, it's personal stuff for people. I'm not going to talk about it. But, man, it's mind-blowing right now. And there are a lot of companies using this as a freaking excuse, and some of the biggest companies in the industry are using this as an excuse just after a rough little 6 weeks, you know, and they're like, whoosh, off with their heads. It's amazing. You dang sure better be doing your job right now promoting. That's for friggin' sure. I mean, for sure. The good news in all this, you get all this political mumbo jumbo and talk over with. The good news is fishing's coming back. They're going to try. You know, looking at the FLW, MLFLW proposed schedule, they're looking like June. I've seen a lot of bass guys posting about fishing's coming back, so I would assume they're looking at June as well. And I, you know, like Fighter told us last week, taking it all the way through December, which I think is awesome. So we got a lot of fishing coming up. You know, they're going to get in all the opens. You know, they're going to damn sure try. we're going to see these super FLWs. We're going to see the BPTs, and it's going to be crazy. Another thing I'd like to point out that I think needs to be said, going back just for a second, and then we're going to get John Boy on here. So my thing is this. You have also rested your laurels on your format. I said this when they bought FLW. I thought it was weird. Format. We have the best. Extending the future of the sport. Now you're fixing to go back to putting them in a box. You're fixing to go to trying to keep them alive. And you're fixing to go to weigh-ins. And you're fixing to do all the things you said you didn't need. And not, da, 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 da. It's just sending so many mixed messages. That's why I think that there's definitely some sort of struggle going on, or this wouldn't even be an option because arrogance wouldn't allow it. This is a slide. I want to read this from the All Angler Call, FLW, MLF and FLW are one in all caps company. Why is it an advantage to add Pro Tour BPT anglers to the FLW Pro Circuit? Why is it important that MLFLW as a company succeeds? I think any of us with a brain can explain why that's important. It's because you're just going to throw a bunch of guys' careers away that have fished FLW forever if it doesn't succeed, and you're going to screw over a bunch of people that left Bass to come help you start your suicide mission. And one of my friends that sent me this says, AKA my entry fees help pay for the Bass Pro Tour guys to not pay entry fees. And that is very true. Very, very true. Oh, me. I love it. Good times. So there you go. Fishing talk. Y'all want me to quit talking about murder hornets and start talking fishing? There you go. There's you some fishing nuggets. Every time you think it's going to die down, it doesn't. We can't just go back to fishing. There's got to be some craziness. And you know I'm going to run my mouth about it because I like to talk about it. That's what I do. Let's call John Boy here. Send him a little text right here. See if we can get him on the phone. So thank y'all so much for all the positive comments in the last couple weeks. Man, I am trying to keep it rolling here, keep the content coming to you. And I'm been having a good time with the podcast. I think about the podcast a lot. I take a lot of notes, what I want to talk about, and it's actually a little bit more prepared than you realize, I think. So for those of y'all that are faithful, man, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And you know, I don't want to sound, with all this talk, I don't want to sound biased in any way, and I know that that's what it comes off. Obviously, I had a personal beef with some of the brass at MLF over my opinions, and they won't like hearing these opinions because everything has to be bubbles and butterflies. But I just want people to know what's going on, and all this will be announced and it'll be talked about on every podcast this week. But I just, you know, there are definitely different sides to it, and I think that there are things that need to be said about it. Here we go, another plane coming by. That's probably the MLF private jet right there, cruising, trying to see where Low Budget Live's recording from this week. I think that's what that was, if y'all heard it go by right there. Let's give John Cox a call right now. See how this is going to sound.
Hey, man.
John Cox, the legend of Walter, world champion. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. There's a lot to freaking go over with you. I don't know if you realize that the bass fishing world blew up in the last couple days since you very much realize it, I know, but since I texted you about wanting you to come on and tell this story. But first of all, how in the hell are you holding up down there in all this COVID craziness? You seem like you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we're fishing a lot. We're doing a lot of repairs around the house and, you know, just kind of staying away from everybody and letting everything kind of cool off. But, man, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff around the house I didn't think I was capable of doing.
Does that list include putting a bass in your bathtub?
No, you know, it's just so crazy how that all happened. And it's nuts that was like, we didn't even know what we were going to actually do with them. You know, we were really worried. And, you know, Melissa was like, she's like, you can throw them in the bathtub.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
Oh. I was like, that's a good idea.
So tell me, because you and I have texted about it, we messaged on Instagram about Walter, because I did. I've been funny about it, but at the same time, it was very endearing. It was a cool story, and it was awesome to see that you cared enough to try to. I mean, dude, you spent money, you spent time. I mean, you really tried to revive this thing. So tell us the story.
Right.
So Keith, well, did he find this fish?
Well, so we were, you know, without the tournaments going on, I'm doing a lot of like Crestliner Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to do whatever, you know, just something so that we can somewhat feel like we're still fishing some tournaments. And we were doing a Crestliner Live, and we were trying to shoot tilapia. Huh. I've never shot a bow since like high school. So like, I'm like, you know, it'd be perfect. I'll get out there. It'll be my first time shooting a bow in forever. You know, maybe I'll get one. And like, I realized I was so bad at it. Like, I didn't even come close to any of them. And then that's when we saw Walter, and like, you know, you could tell he was a giant one, and he was just kind of swimming along. And, you know, when we ended the live, he swam right up to us, like just came up to the boat, like, you know, almost like, hey, come help me, you know? And it was
holy
like,
cow.
We didn't know what was wrong with him. And, dude, we just reached down there and grabbed him and got him in the boat. I mean, he was on his way out, you know. And we didn't even realize how bad his cuts were until we got him in the boat. And like, it was fresh blood coming out of him. Like, it looked awful, you know. And I was like, man, this guy's not gonna make it. And we didn't really realize you know, he was over 10 until we you know, got back to the house and stuff. And you know, we put him in the bathtub, and I mean, the whole time, even when we put him in the live well, he wasn't staying upright. And I'm like, gosh, this poor fish is going to die. And, you know, I didn't know what we were going to do with him. But, you know, when we got back to the house, he was still breathing. You know, we filled the bathtub up. I dumped a bunch of my chemicals that I use on the shiners to keep my shiners alive. I dumped a bunch of that in the tub and iced it down and got a bubbler in there and everything. And, boy, I'm not going to lie. I was 99% sure he wasn't going to make it through the night because he couldn't stay upright. You know, he'd stay upright for a second, then he'd roll over and lay on his side. And Melissa was like, you know, she pulled out some SeaWorld stuff and just like made this sling and like tied it to an FLW trophy. And was like, yeah, she was like, Dad, I've seen him do this to the dolphins or whatever. And I'm like, you know, and it actually worked. Like,
that's
he
crazy.
Made it through the night. The next morning, I took him out of the sling, and he's swimming around. He can't turn around in the tub because he was 29 inches long,
mm-hmm.
but he was able to, you know, go forward, back up, all on his own, doing perfect.
Wow!
You know, so I was like, oh my gosh, this fish is gonna live for a while, you know. And so I went out, bought all the crazy stuff, bought a tub, bought this filtering system that was like $200 to filter the 300 gallon tub that I got. And, you know, got it all set up and then we waited that evening to transfer him over. And he even seemed fine. We transferred him over. Everything was good. He actually ate some bologna a few hours
wow.
after we Keith was in there. I'm like, dude, we just moved him. I was like, he's not thinking of eating. He's not going to eat any bologna. You know, these aren't like the fish in the backyard
yeah.
that I've fed for like years and years. But Keith is just down there like talking to him, and he sucked the bologna right out of his hand.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I was like, this guy's, you know, he's going to be good. And then that night he just getting tired. You know, old fish. He was blind in both eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was struggling. So he just late that evening, he started not swimming too good. He would stay upright and then he'd fall over to his side and then fix himself. And I was worried to leave him like that. So I put him back in the sling, came out the next morning. He was actually trying to swim, like while he was in the sling, huh. like moving his fins and stuff. And I was like, "Gosh, you know, he's doing great." Let him out. He swim around, and it was like his last. You know, it was like anytime you like either blow your truck up or a motor or whatever it is, like it runs the best there, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Victory lap.
That was, yeah, and like Walter was like in there. He was swimming around his fake stump in there. I was like, "Man, this is great. I can't wait. I'm gonna let him go in my backyard. He's already gonna be used to it." So, you know, he's gonna eat the other ones, and dude, he just like all of a sudden he started doing these really hard twitches, and I kind of held him up there, and dude, he was stiff within like 3 minutes.
Unbelievable,
just,
man.
Just died that just like that.
And he weighed 10 pounds, 15 ounces. Is that what I saw?
With the chunk missing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, so there's no, it was a big fish, man. 29 inch fish. That's big.
Giant. How old do you think a fish like that is?
Gosh, I don't know. So I have a 10 gallon aquarium. Well, me and Lily do. We have a 10 gallon aquarium, and we've put a really small fry garter, she caught with the net, and I think it's been in there 2 months, 3 months, and it's like tripled in size.
No,
wow. So like it's growing quick. I'm guessing, man, if with the right food and everything, that fish was probably at least 12. I think at least 12 to 15 years old.
Yeah, you would think
so. It was old, and it was just when they get that big, they just don't look the same.
Unfortunately, I've never been that close to a 10 pounder. I actually did catch a 9 in Florida. I've caught some 8s in Florida, but I mean, they're different animals at that point. Mm-hmm. They're different. And I know you've caught so many, but how crazy is it? All the folks listening to this right now are going, so John Cox not only feeds bass by hand, and he not only catches fish all over the country at will, basically, when he wants to, he can get 10 pounders to eat bologna when they've got gashes out there. We're all out here, trying to throw in the Berkeley General like you're telling us to. We're swim jig. We're doing all this crap you're telling us to do. And your secret this whole time is just lunch meat the entire time.
Man,
I'm figuring you out.
It's been so embarrassing because, we used to do the fish in the backyard shiners.
Yeah.
But then I was adding it up, and it's like, man, I'm feeding this one $15 a day. I'm feeding that one $20 a day. And I'm like, man, they're eating better than we are. So I ran this guy at the gas station. He's like, man, you got to try, throwing some bologna to them. And I'm like, man, there ain't no way they're going to eat bologna. And man, I'm telling you, I'm at the dollar store at least once a week clearing out the rack of bologna. There's one that's so particular, he will not touch the bologna. And he would only eat like bluegills and shiners. And I'm like, I'm going to pick him up a pack of hot dogs. So I got a pack of hot dogs. I'm not lying. I heated that hot dog. They think it's like a big general or, stick bait or something, And I heat that hot dog up and I flip it over to him wacky rig style, so it's nice and long ways across his face. And he inhales it every time.
Dude, I can't so eat. Crazy. I can't eat. So I need to know right now, is it in the rules with any of the tournament trails? You fish all the tournament trails. Is it in any of the rules that we can't use a hot dog?
Yeah, I don't really think there. I think you could.
Okay. I don't think there's any. You heard it here, first, folks.
I mean, when we get the chick next time, when we get there, I got a hot dog.
You mean when you win? When you win. I had a whole text message conversation with a buddy of mine about all these changes coming up and what's going on, and I saw the schedule, and I was like, oh, yeah, John gets another trophy in June. Because I don't care if it's June or January, because you're going to win.
No, I don't know. It would be awesome to do good there again. I mean, I'm excited about it all. I mean, the changes I think everybody's going to see soon are going to be big and
crazy,
exciting.
Because I've been talking about it before you came on. I've been talking about the changes. I've got all of it sent to me, and I know basically everybody with the podcast is going to talk about it this week. And my thing is this: so you're excited about it. You're welcome to the idea of those guys from the BPT being able to fish. I mean, I know you're not the kind of guy. I don't think not a lot of things bother you.
I just want to go fishing. I don't really care what it is. I just want to fish. But a positive to it all is everybody. We need to. I mean, us as a big group of tournament guys, we need to make as much money as we can for next year too, going in, because I don't know how stuff's going to be. And I just feel the way they're going to set it up, I feel like everybody's going to have a little bit more opportunity to make some money, a lot more checks paying out. I mean, I know we're going to get some more guys in there, and we're going to get more competition, but
payout's going to be deep, though. Looks like, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like into the hundreds, So
crazy. That's crazy.
And I mean, dude, we got guys on the FLW pro circuit, they're going to catch them, man. They're going to catch them. I know 50 of them guys coming over.
Yeah,
there are some guys listen. That are like, oh, that's 50 checks that are going to be gone. It might be, but I'm just saying. But everybody has bad days. I've had bad days. Everybody, I mean, and it's a whole nother game with 200 boats.
It's a whole nother thing.
It's like your holes don't work anymore.
No.
Your guys that would fish a hole for 4 days, win a tournament, or kind of, or like, you know, you have to, a 4 day event with 200 boats, you have to just scramble every day. You don't know what you're going to do.
Absolutely. And I think that's a testament to why, I mean, you're a great junk fisherman. You're great at fishing the moment. You're great at, you know, obviously shallow water fishing. But I think that's why you excel because, you know, we've seen these tournaments like the Lambert Kentucky Lake tournaments where he does. He's got a couple holes and that kind of thing. But, dude, that is hard to do with 200 people on the water and people that don't give a damn whether you got to a spot first or not. And, you know, like I know, that crap goes on. Boat number, I mean, it's all part of it.
Right. And what happens is with that many people, you know, you might have this really, really jam-up spot and you get there the first day. But there's 10 other guys that wanted to put that in their rotation.
That's right. Maybe didn't
know how good it was. And you're not going to – I mean, when I fished the Opens and we had 200 boats whatever last year or whatever it was, dude, I never the next day ever got on anything I was on the first day.
No, it's not going to happen.
Never. No, never.
And
I got used to it. I didn't let it, like, get me – you know, a lot of people would lose their mind, you know.
Me.
I just got used to it because it was like – yeah, because there's just so many people out there and I'm like – you know what? He probably knew there was fish here, whatever, or maybe not. I don't know. And I would just abandon it, you know, and it worked out fine. So,
I think there's a lot to be said for that. You're right, dude. About the 200 boats, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys that are mad from the FLW side. Let me back up before I say that. Are you hearing negative comments from FLW guys? Do you think there are some that are mad?
I think there will be some that are mad. Just with anything, a lot of guys don't like to see any change. I just feel like we're in such a odd time right now anyways that we got to do whatever, you know, just so everybody can survive. You know, that's what I think the main goal is. I think those guys that are upset, I mean, you know, they might be upset now and if they still fish and they get – three $10,000 checks and go to a championship and get $10,000 check, I don't think they're going to be upset and
change their mind.
Yeah, they're going to be like, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Do you think FLW guys will pull out and not fish those remaining four?
You know, some might, but then I just don't see. I mean, we still have a championship. I mean, we're going to fish 200 guys, and 100th place is going to be 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Got to beat half the field, you know? Yeah, to get 10 grand.
I just feel like, yes, it's more boats and everything, but I feel like there's more opportunity when you catch a limit each day, there's a good chance you're going to make in that top 100.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's what I taught when this first came up, and then I heard it got voted down a couple weeks ago, and now it's back around. I said then, and I said it again today, like, I don't know if I'm an FLW guy, like, if I was fishing the tour this year, how I would feel about it. I mean, it's odd, but these are odd times, you know.
Right.
These are definitely odd times, to say the least. But I hope the FLW guys fish. And like you said, it's not going to be just however many of them guys come over. It's not just going to be automatic checks. It's just not. It's not ever that way. Like you said, 200 people, there's a lot of interference that can go on no matter how good you are.
There's a lot of variables.
A lot of those,
because in those tournaments, I mean, you could do awesome one day and you could zero the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens so easily with that many boats because you get so spun out, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think it'll be good practice for everybody, and you know, get through the year, and then hopefully everybody will make a little money and get to go again next year.
All right, well, let me ask you this, because you were set up to have the craziest year of your life.
I know.
You are. And then all this happened, and it's almost like you weren't. It's so ironic, because when you and I talked, I had so many requests. Hey, man, get John on. And so we did. We did it at the first of the year. We talked, and you were about to head to St. John's. And it was right. like, yeah, man, I'm not going to be home at all this year. And now right. we've all been home yeah. more than we've ever been home. But what will this reschedule do? So you've seen those FLW dates, and I know Bass is reaching out to people, and I've talked to some folks at Bass too, and they're going right. to try to get back going, you know, in that same hopefully June time frame. Right. What will this reschedule do? Are you going to be able to fish all of them now?
I don't know. I really hope so. For Bass, I think we only have one date set.
So I got you.
When we're going to start.
I got you.
Everything else is kind of thrown up in the air right now, and I'm really hoping, you know, that they somehow don't overlap, you know.
That'd be awesome, man.
That would be the perfect storm, even though we are going to fish, you know, through the summer and into the fall where, you know, usually I don't do so hot, but, you know, as long as we're out fishing, I'm fine with it. I the other day I sunk, my neighbors hate me, by the way, but I went and I sunk so much brush out in my lake in the backyard, and I'm going to work on my deep game. So I sunk all my brush. I got my electronics working. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some work in this, you know.
So no more John Cox without a transducer.
I don't know. I mean, at least for this, to finish this season out, just okay. in case, you know.
I like it.
I don't know. I'm not making any promises. I mean, because I might, my going out, checking out deeps, going out there, making one cast, and go like, no, this ain't
that's me most of the time, too.
Yeah, so.
Hey, I'm going to go out here and idle. 20 yeah. minutes later, back skipping a wacky worm.
Yeah, I'm like, I idle from takeoff out just a little bit.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I didn't see any.
Yeah.
I didn't see any.
I'm going to go to this bank over here.
Dude, I got too much ADD for, and I've obviously grown up on the Tennessee River, I am a deep fisherman, and I do, you know, lead fish and all that stuff. I do understand it, and I do enjoy it, but man, I'm telling you, those days of just idling around with a cooler full of Gatorade, that ain't my speed, man. I eventually got to go throw at something, right. just something.
Yeah, I can throw all day as long as I'm throwing at something.
Yes.
I don't care if I'm not catching.
Me too.
There's enough baits I just enjoy yeah. throwing.
You like watching them come back. Like, hell, yeah, I'll pick up yeah. one of those big rats every now and then just yeah. to watch it come out. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, stuff's fun to throw. Chatterbait makes right. your little rod vibrate. It's cool. It's cool. Oh, man. Well, I hope, dude, I hope that it all works out and everybody, you know, can maintain sponsorship. I think that I was talking before you came on too, and I'll ask you without getting too personal, but there are a lot of changes going on. I know you're hearing them and probably seeing them from other guys. Are you personally, have you been hit by any kind of sponsorship changes, or are most of your guys really kind of sticking to status quo?
Yeah. I mean, so far everybody's just kind of waiting to see what happens, you know. Yeah, I pretty much like, you know, so yeah, I don't know. So far, I think everything's fine.
Let me ask you this. Would you know if it changed?
I would, if I didn't see, you know, if I went to like order a boat and they're like, yeah, you're not getting one.
Well, listen, I don't think that's in jeopardy for you, because I'm watching these Crestliner Lives, which by the way have been awesome. And y'all are having fun.
Yeah, we are having fun. We struggled on a few of them, but man, we went to this this Vero Trophy, Beach Trophy. Yep. So you're an hour live. You know, you're thinking, man, can I just catch a couple fish? We caught like 30 in like an hour, and then I caught like an 8 something right at the end on topwater. So it was awesome. And then we did another one. I went actually back there and ended up in a 2 hour live. I caught like 2 over 8 and then lost 1 8. And like, I mean, it was just, so we've been having a blast with it.
Well, my buddy Carter Andrews lives in Vero. And
really?
Yeah, and that's where some of those small lakes around there. I've never got to fish the trophy bass ones, but I have fished some lakes over there. And then when I came down, you and I were texting when I was down this winter in February, I fished a lake not far from Vero. That's where I shot some stuff that was just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. And those,
so much fun.
It's awesome, dude. And now there's a couple new ones about to open down there. I'm hearing like public water stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to give that out. Carter will kill me.
You don't want to send them all. Yeah,
nah, I'm not going to do that. But they're,
you know, the key to those lakes, what they're doing is stocking them tons with threadfin. They come in January and they just pump them in.
Wow.
And so, like, you have just, I mean, you just have the most awesomest feed. like for months.
Unreal.
After they, and like the fish are healthy, thick. I was looking up all last night. I'm getting the truck to come and I'm having to dump me, you know, at least 10,000 thread fins in my pond just to get the school in action going, you know, because I mean, you know, throwing top water in the middle of the day is just, it's awesome, especially catching those big ones, man.
So typically, though, that being said, for folks listening, I mean, a lot of those Florida lakes don't have any shad. You don't have any.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, I honestly think they all get eaten up. Now, St. John's got a lot of shad.
Okay.
So, like, back in the day, Toho, I think they stocked Toho then with shad. But, like, you would go out into Toho and you would have an acre of just nothing but straight schoolers.
Wow.
And big ones. You know, you'd get out there and you would catch 7-8 pounders in those schoolers. And it's never been like that again. So I don't in that pond at Vero, the trophy bass one, that was the closest thing I've seen to Toho ever.
Unreal.
You know, when we used to be like that. And that's what he said. He said, oh, we just dumped in, you know, 100,000 shad 2 months ago, you know. So,
incredible, really cool. Dude. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, dude, I really appreciate you as always. You're my I don't tell every guest this. You're my favorite guest. You're one of my favorite people ever. You're my buddy, and I appreciate you always making time for me and keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm telling you that your content is just, people are drawn to you because you're honest and you're real and you're just showing your life. And that's what social media was designed for. And it's really cool to see you and the girls out there fishing and you and Keith clowning around. It's good stuff, man. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the year goes for you. Obviously it started with a bang, but that feels like it was forever ago now, John.
I know. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I feel so bad for some, I mean, dude, that was just like, that was so amazing that happened, and then all this happened, because
I know,
man, I don't know.
I think about Hank Cherry and the Classic. It feels like the Classic didn't even happen at some days. You know, it's so crazy because he didn't get to really take his victory lap, and I know he will, but it's just man, it's so bizarre because that was the last big event, and then this happened. You know. Crazy. Unreal. And then you had the MLF thing at Fork, I guess, and then it was just over.
That was it.
Over, man. But well, dude, you guys stay safe down there. I hope that the dollar store doesn't run out of bologna anytime soon. And I'm ready to get back out on the road and see everybody, man. I hope to run into I might slide over there to Chick.
That's what, man, I'm telling you. We need to go somewhere. We need to go. We shoot a video. Or whatever,
we do.
Or yank on them somewhere.
I'm holding you to it. This is recorded video and audio. All right, I'm holding you to it, buddy.
Okay.
All right, John. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, bud.
See you, buddy. Talk soon. John freaking Cox right there. I love that guy. Y'all know that. If you've listened for very long at all, I've done more interviews with John. I guess Cody Meyer, John Cox, Brad Knight. Those are perennial. They're coming back. Those guys are coming back for some LBL all the time. And John is just one of those so freaking, he's just honest. And it's awesome to see. So I want to do something real quick here. Let me write this name down. So we did Quarantine Catch Fest, right? And I really appreciate everybody for participating in that, sending us in fish. And I wanted to do a shout out right here. Let me pull this up. I want to do a shout out real quick to a few of these folks. And I'm either going to call Instagram handles or names, whatever I have here. But we had several big bass sent in, Darian and I, Stupid Darian. First of all, I'd like to congratulate myself for beating Darian, which is not a you know, big task or anything. It's not like beating Kevin Van Dam or anything like that. But for the month of April, I had 5 that weighed 23.14, and he had basically zero from what I've seen. I don't even think he caught a bass. I don't even know where he gets these. I think he filmed all his videos in March that he's posting right now. But you know, so yay! Hold up, this is my trophy, I guess, my Star Trine. But we're gonna start getting prizes out to everybody soon. I'm gonna reach out to everybody, but I want to congratulate, first of all, Mr. Luke Pennington, a young man that caught a 9 four. It was one of the first fish that we had. He's the overall winner. He wins big largemouth, and of course he's the man. 9 pounds, 4 ounces. That was one of the first fish we got. Caught it off the bed. Awesome pick. Sent that in. Second place with an 8.5, and this was a PB, I believe. Charles Ferb with an 8.5 largemouth. This is the overall. K. Goodman Fishing had an 8.22 for third place. Preston Kendrick, who fishes with our boy Luke Pennington, weighed a 7.6 in for fourth place. I believe he fishes for Bryan College over there in Dayton, Tennessee. But Preston, Preston catches some bigs. But 7.6 for fourth place. And fifth place overall, Blake C., 1288, let me just get Blake's name here. Blake, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have looked all of this up before, but I didn't. Y'all know it's low budget. Get off me. Let's see. What did I say? Blake Carrier. Sorry, Blake. Blake Carrier came in fifth place with a 7.14. And those are bigs, y'all. Those are bigs. And then we did a big spot and a big smallie. And big smallie goes to my man, Jody White, who works with FLW. He had a 5.97. I actually think he caught one bigger than that. That was the one he submitted. He broke his 6-pound in Vermont mark last week. I saw him post. But a 5.97 is going to be his official submission. And it knocks out. We had a few smallies in that 5-pound range, but 5.97. And then big spotted bass, Mark Cook sent us a 5.57 behemoth spotted bass. 5.57 behemoth, and I'm just still shaking my head. But so those are your winners for Quarantine Catch Fest, and I'll get that posted up, and we'll get some prizes out very soon. Very, very soon. So thank you to everybody who participated. And thank y'all for listening to Low Budget Live. Thank you for supporting me. Thanks for watching the fishing videos. Make sure you're watching those. Make sure you're giving them a thumbs up if you're on YouTube. I really appreciate that. I'm enjoying making those. My boys really enjoy making those. And we like getting out. And we got a lot more content to come up for you. You know, fishing's changing by the day. Fish are starting to think about being finished spawning, and that's when it really gets fun. So we're going to have some fun content coming up, and hopefully we can open up and start traveling again, so it's just not always stuff around the house, okay? So thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for putting up with me down here at the beach. I'll be home tomorrow. Drop a comment below if you're going to the beach, you know? Let me know. What are you getting back to normal? Drop me comments below if you're watching on YouTube. Are you getting back to normal? Are you still bunkered up? And either or, you're fine. Just be safe either way. We're being safe. Like I said, takeout. We've been to the grocery store since we've been here, and we've been sitting right here, and we've been distancing from all these folks. I really appreciate this. Everything y'all have given me. I love y'all for listening. You bunch of low-life son of a guns. Make sure you hug your mama, and I'm going to take you out today with a little bit of Biloxi Blues. Thank y'all, and I'll see y'all next week from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill, most likely. Ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Headed my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.